The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the two lads for the Weekend Podcast. I've had one or two people, guys, say, where was the Weekend Podcast? At least one or two. You know,
we did it last week, didn't we?
No.
You're away, weren't you? That's right.
I was in Park Center, Center Park. Yeah, I'll say. In Longleat, and being dragged down the rapids by the kids. You know, I'm too old for that, really. Part of me, I like it because otherwise I just sit there doing nothing, probably eating. But so it keeps me active. Part of me thinks, oh no. Because Monty's still at the size where, you know, he still goes under the water. He can't touch the, you know, his head is under the water. And so I have to help him and all that stuff, you know. But I quite like being active. But you do get bruised and hurt on those. It's just old age, isn't it, you know. It's funny what kids like are diametrically opposed to what adults like, you know.
Yes.
They are the complete opposite. They love shouting, they love noise. Whereas parents are like, shh, be quiet.
You know, just I think you said this before.
Of chaos and organisation a little bit, you know.
Yeah. That's just how me and Pete feel about you.
Exactly.
And we're recording this on a Thursday night, Steve said, hurry up, I'm not eating anything. I've had a lovely bit of food today, a stir fry. Lovely stir fry.
I'm not even going to lie to you, I'm going to be putting the oven on in a couple of minutes because I'm actually going to time it perfectly to finish the podcast with my food ready.
You're a single fella, aren't you? I suspect you use the oven a lot, do you?
Well, that's how I cook things.
Just put, exactly, 20 minutes in the oven, done. For example...
I've cut a sweet potato up and I've marinated it myself. It's all sat there ready to go in the oven.
You've marinated one sweet potato in what? What are you marinating?
Well, I've cut it into wedges. I've done paprika, jerk seasoning, and a bit of chili flakes.
Get Stephen!
And then I got
sweet
a microwave.
Potato!
Too much information.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
So it's a Thursday, because we're doing it on Friday, so we may have missed, if there's bits of news being released and you listen to this the weekend on a Friday, we didn't quite catch it. We couldn't. I tell you what I was outraged by. Everyone was outraged by the way they dragged Julian Assange out of that building. I thought, well, don't worry about Julian Assange. They're also dragging Santa out. What's happened to Santa Claus? Leave him alone. What has he done? This woman, I said that on Twitter. I said they've arrested him. They've arrested Father Christmas and Julian Assange because his hair was everywhere. And this woman said, oh, and you think it's funny, do you? The death of democracy? I said, don't worry about that. What are the presents for the kids at Christmas? She didn't like that at all. It's not the death of democracy. I want people dramatic. I just happened to add a light-hearted fun to Twitter. I do apologise. I understand Twitter's largely for arguments.
I didn't understand is why he looked so rough. It's like he's had 7 years to, like, I mean, pretty much kind of just preen himself the whole time. And I mean, what else has he got to do?
Well, I think he probably did do that. He appeared at the balcony a couple of times at the start and at the end. When you wake up in a place that people don't want you there, it's like 7 years. It's like, are you still here? Yeah, sorry, if I go inside, I get arrested. God, how long have you been here? 5 years. Every morning you get up, you imagine just staying in someone's house, they don't want you there, you know? Unwelcome guest, pretty much. You imagine, I don't know, some awkward situation where maybe you're broken up with your missus, but you have to live in the house with their parents. None of them want you there. Every morning you get up, essentially you wouldn't leave the bedroom after a while, would you? You wouldn't grow your hair long. You wouldn't be prancing around preening yourself. You'd just say, I don't want to be here. In the end, he put up a little bit of a resistance, but he's probably glad to be out of there, isn't he? Let's be honest. Yeah. It's a fresh air.
He's probably been like leaving and, going off on jollies all around London and sneaking back in.
Yeah.
All this time.
Yeah, where's Julian gone? It's amazing. People probably not working, that day if we go back. Where's Julian's gone? Julian gone? Didn't you see the news yesterday? No. They dragged him out. Thank God. God, he's almost overstaying your welcome. I'm like that, You guys stay down, You stay for like a night and say, I won't get lost in the morning. But you hang around to midday. You imagine I'm 7 years later.
Trying to stay for as long as we can next time, should we?
You imagine that
packing our bags for us. Come on, guys.
But that's one day. Imagine 7 years. Just you lot hanging around for 7 years. Get out, lads. What is wrong with you?
Anyway. It's a bit weird.
Yes. Anyway, let's talk about stocks and shares. Because that's what we're all about. So, I tell you, there's only one stock again this week. Another star. Buy in, dip, stupid. I was at Centre Parks, actually. I took my kids for aqua jets, right? And they were doing it outside. It was tipping down with rain. Awful. And, of course, it was 8 o'clock in the morning because they do the aqua jets before the pool opens. So I took my kids down there. It was outside. It was freezing cold, raining. And the markets opened. It was the final results of bid stack. And... the share price dropped because they are historical results. You know, the final results, they've only been listed for 4 months when they released those results. So we knew what they were. You know, they hit the target. The target wasn't very big, but considering they've been listed for 4 months, 300 grand in 4 months is not bad, is it? You know, from get-go, from the start. Yeah. So they dropped by 17%. I was in the rain on my app, on my Barclays, on the website. It's not even mobile responsive, the Barclays stockbroking website. So rain was dripping down on the thing. I was trying to buy like crazy. And it dropped to 17%. Did you buy the dip, stupid guys?
No. I didn't. Not on that one.
No. I bought before.
Yeah, and it was lower than that, so yeah. I'm all right.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like buying lower than that, but I genuinely... I've had people say, right, you know, that you're asking me, today actually, on Twitter, saying... If you haven't de-risked yet, I think you're head case. I thought, no. I don't think you understand this. And in fact, we mentioned this, didn't we, on the WhatsApp group. And I was saying, listen, this is not an oil and gas stock. It's not a resource company that needs to raise money. It's not in a dodgy jurisdiction. It's not drilling or looking for exploration. It's not that. It's a UK-based tech company, right, where the owner... has 20% of the company. It's a revenue-generating model. It's based in Britain. It's in a growing sector. I just think every time this news comes out, they are de-risking. Okay, it's getting bigger in my portfolio as it goes up, but I feel they are de-risking. Now, listen, there are at least two bits of news. James on the podcast, and he said, look for three bits of news. First of all, new hires. Now, they brought on some cracking people. You know, European, the boss of American and European Sega. That is big. We're talking a tiddler. You know, Bidstack is still a tiddler. Why would this guy get involved with Bidstack? You're talking guys involved in Spotify, in the trade desk, the biggest demand-serving platform in the world. It grew by 2 billion in a week last week, that company, trade desk. So, yeah. And then he said, James LePont, said, right, so the next couple of bits of news, we'll have new hires, that's done. We'll have new inventory, so new games, you know, and we'll also have news about DSPs. So, first of all, you got guys from, you know, on the gaming side, like the guy from Sega. You got also Maritz Nattini, who was signed up a while back. He was from Candy Crush. And you've got the rest of Spotify and Trade Desk. So I see now they've got the hires in. These guys will also help with the next two bits, which is DSPs and games. So I think there's loads of news to come. We've had final results. I can't see any bit of bad news coming out now. I genuinely think this is going to be a FTSE 250 company in the next 3 to 5 years if they get everything right. It's going to be a proper business. It's not an oil and gas stock. In those companies, you do have to de-risk when it doubles. You have to get out. But take your profit and de-risk. This, I see, is a proper company that I want to put... And someone said to me on Twitter, I said, listen, it's going to come back. You know, it's going to have a pullback. It's risen so fast, it's going to have a big pullback. And I'm going to buy more. And they said to me, why didn't you sell some now then? I said, no, I want more of a share of this business. I don't want to sort of just top slice and trade it in and out. I would do that with an oil and gas or resource stock. I'm not doing this with one of the brightest stars I think is going to be on the stock market for a long time. I want more share of this business. So I will use, you know, I'll buy and dip, stupid. That's what I'll do. When it comes down, I'll be topping up. So,
but it's now like overbought, isn't it? But
RSI,
it's looking overbought. So when you bought in the dip last week, I mean, it didn't dip massively, like 17% apparently, but that was in share price, you bought at about 13p or something.
Yeah, so it didn't. No, I was buying below 12 pence on that morning. That's how far I dipped.
That's one of those things where me and Steve are busy working, you know, so I missed that dip.
So was I. I was busy working buying stock. That's why.
Yes, exactly. Stood in the rain.
You stood in the rain, watching them pretending to take a video of my kids in the pool, really actually buying stock. They were just coming towards and smiling, thinking I was filming them. I was actually on Barclays Stockbroker Strike buying stock.
Good dad.
Yeah, exactly. I got a bit of a clip of them.
But A1 parenting.
And it's very hard when your hands are wet and the screen is wet and you're trying to buy. I was typing an altar. It wasn't working at all.
Hashtag first world problems, yeah.
But the thing is, you know why it dipped, though? You know why it dipped? This is going to happen with another stock now, and we'll see opportunity here, right? I mean, if you base your investment decisions solely on financial statements, you would have missed out on all the big rises, not just on AIM, on any stock market ever. Right? Accountants are experts at balance sheets, but they aren't good investors. And in fact, it's the fact they are expert at balance sheets holds them back from investing with their gut, looking at hype, hope, potential. You know, I mean, do people honestly think that the likes of Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, Tesla, Uber, all those had squeaky balance sheets? I've read about Amazon; they didn't. They're on the edge, on the brink for a long time. They were considered overvalued all the way up, all the way up.
And are you comparing Bidstack to Amazon?
No, what I'm saying is, you get people. So people look at the balance sheets. Do you know what? The biggest winners don't have squeaky clean balance sheets. They're regarded as overvalued all the way up. You know, people regarded EVRH and Vesarion as overvalued all the way up. I think Bidstack will do 5-10 times what they've done because they have an end market that's massive. And they are in a sector. All the big guys want a slice of the gaming market. When you're in the middle of that and you are linking up with the guys from Spotify, you know, from Candy Crush, from Sega, listen, this has the potential to be, you know, massive.
Okay, so can we talk time?
Let me say one thing, right?
All right.
You can go to the highest seat of learning in the land, Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, and consult with their best economics professors. But they aren't rich or can't pick a winner or stock winner because they would be look at the sensible side of it and look at the balance sheets and all that. A professor of art can't paint a classic. You know what I'm saying?
Now I know this is not an oil and gas or resource, but you were just as excited about this as you were about EUZ.
Yeah, do you know why?
You've changed, but you're just as excited.
I was thinking that the other day,
right,
actually.
Yeah, and do you know what? There's a world apart, aren't there? Worlds apart, when you think about it, right?
But in terms of your excitement, I know,
but listen, that's because at the time when I was very excited, I was thinking that an asset there in Spain, a safe jurisdiction, is going to be worth triple digits NPV. I thought it was above where it is at the moment, actually, scope of study. And I thought they'd leverage that quite easily. They haven't. They've made a hash of it. You know, the management there, they've come up with a scoping study, which is supposed to read all the figures, with no figures. You know, you've also got managers in there, not owners. Now, James Draper owns 20% of the company. What are the guys in EUZ own?
Nothing.
Hardly anything. That's the difference.
It's one of our gold rules.
I know exactly. It's one of our gold rules. Is how easy it is to break that rule, you know? He's an owner, James. He's not a manager. And not only that, I'm not going to invest in another oil and gas or resource stock again. I just don't like the investment model they have. You can do very well, but I think tech has the potential, but with less risk. The same potential or more with less risk. Oil and gas stocks, for example, right? They've got to drill for oil and gas. They may not even get it, right? So there's a chance of success. They talk about how much they've got there, you know, pretty much in resources and then, you know, the reserves. And then they've got to find it, drink it out. A lot of money, first of all, to get down there and find it. If they do find it, then they've got to raise more money in debt funding, you know, to get it out. And it's so much hassle. I think, do you know what? Tech doesn't do that. First of all, I'm not saying Bidstack.
No, it has different challenges.
But you know what? I'm not saying Bidstack won't come back to the market. They may come back to the market for money, but not as much. Straight away from the get-go, they're earning revenue, right? Now, these oil and gas companies, they're not for years. They're pre-revenue for years. I don't want that.
Sure, but then, you know, what's stopping someone else developing, you know, tech that's just as good as Bidstack, or some of the big software houses already doing that in-house, but they haven't sort of announced it yet, or what? Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
But do you know what, though? They said, this is on Football Manager 18 alone, there's £100 million worth of inventory in that game per year. Yeah. That one game, right? They've got 3-year exclusive contract with that. They've also got a 3-year exclusive contract with Dirt Rally. I assume that's similar or more. They are signing up other games as well. So they'd sell exclusive contracts with these. Now, these gaming people, they wouldn't have... I'll explain what... Right, it's a different business model for them. They are have an in-house team of game developers. That's what they do. Programmers, they develop games, right? They don't... They're not advertising guys. They just sell the product. They get the product up there and they sell the product. That's it.
Yeah.
James is an advertising guy, and Fran there, the CTO, is a tech guy. So yep. Together, they've got the DSPs, they've got contacts with and all that, and they sit across two platforms. So they hook up these DSPs that will fill inventory from brands. So they've got then, and they've got this tech now that links their space in the games to these DSPs. No one's done that. No one's done that so far, and they're signing up now with DSPs. And so they do say it's a land grab thing, and James says, we don't want to tell, we don't know people, there are competitors, yeah. But no one yet is doing this, and so we want to grab as much. So they're signing exclusive contracts with gaming, and they're signing up, and they're getting they're building a moat around them with these people who are influential, you know? So hopefully, and he said on the podcast, at the moment, we are way ahead. We don't understand how much tech issues we've had, you know, actually getting our stuff available on DSPs, because there was no category for us. We've even had to go to the International Advertising Bureau to set up a special category for us. So we've had to create this category. So we are the trailblazers, basically. We are doing this. So we're ahead of people. So, yes, other people can do it.
Yeah. But I'm talking as a holder, and I'm very excited about it as well. And, you know, it's great. It's really good. But what I'm saying is, you know, you can't... It's not going to be a completely smooth journey.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. I mean, it's one of the things where, you know, there's a lot of people saying now, you know, you should be de-risking. I genuinely see this as a massive opportunity to have a nice slice of a good business.
And
the thing is, people are comparing us. It's like, you know, all I'm saying is, right, if you it's possible to avoid risks, the avoidable risks. There are avoidable risks you can avoid that people don't, you know? Yeah. And then, and there's you can still get the same amount of reward and still cut out a lot of risks. There's a lot of avoidable risks.
What I like about the resource companies I don't put the farm on it, or I don't put, you know, I never have. It's like, it's a bit of fun, really. So it's a bit, I still quite enjoy the kind of roller coaster ride of, you know, being in stocks, like good stocks, with the board of directors actually with having a big skin in the game, so Predator, people like that.
Do you know what? Yeah, and I agree. Predator, I love Paul Griffin, exactly. That's why I got in there, because you know he's going to do what's in the interest of shareholders, you know? You know, and James Draper there, because they are a big chunky shareholder. And
I enjoy the ride of all that. So I'm still going to invest in resource stocks and things like that, and Asia Met's another great one, hopefully. And so I don't want to just shun all of that, because it's quite.
But you did say, I think you made a good point, right? So you said, well, you're in tech, that's not very diversified. And I said, no, tech, you can be in tech and be very diversified. You know, you can be in tech, covers a multitude. Tech can be in oil and gas, in the services sectors. You can be everywhere tech. You can be in gaming, you can be in wind, you can be in renewables, you can be in energy, anything. So, but what I'm saying, I just want to go through, a lot of people got burned on Debenhams, right? And I thought, I don't understand why people are going into that. Why is people. Stevie, microwave's done.
Thanks.
Is that your food, Steve?
No, that's the oven preheating.
Oh, it's up there.
Up to temperature.
It's there. Yeah, we're now in the hot zone.
Slam in that sweet potato.
You're now in the sweet spot. Slam in the sweet potato in the sweet spot.
Where did you have the sweet potato there, Steve? just a potato?
It's a barbecue chicken oven meal. And some golden vegetable rice.
A barbecue chicken oven meal. Does it come with the oven?
Well, no. It's Aldi special.
Does it say oven in the title?
No.
Right, okay. no more questions, Your Honour. So what is it? Stocks are about risk and reward, right? If you can reduce the risk side of the equation, you're left with the reward, right? Now, you don't have to. Sometimes you don't have to reduce that reward if you get. Like Debenhams, people jumping in Debenhams. I thought, why are you doing that? First and foremost, it's not on a growing market, you know? They're in retail, which is a dying market. That's first and foremost. Secondly, they've got a massive debt, you know? And why would you want to get in a company with more debt than the size of the market cap? So I'll go over these again, but I did push this out on Twitter. And I said, here are five known risks. And there's a guy I really like on Twitter, and he's had a couple of stinkers recently. He's had an oil and gas company that didn't come in because it's a high-impact drill. He had Debenhams. He had about three in a row that just went almost bust, you know. And I did say, you know, listen, you are playing very high risk stocks there, and the outcome is against odds, really, successful. So, you know, and so I wrote this list before. First of all, there are five things, five risks you can avoid, right? Avoid pre-guessing results when they're significant to a share price. So I'm talking about maybe oil and gas, talking about even financial results. You know, you can wait. If they're good, they may spike up, but then you've de-risked it and then let the spike come down, then buy. Rather than try and gamble beforehand, even with pre-clinical trials or clinical trials for biotech companies or pharma companies, avoid that. Wait until you know. You know, then you're not gambling. You're investing in a company that has a good future. Number two, avoid companies operating in questionable jurisdictions. You know, have a look at the internet, the corruption index, and you'll see the countries. You know, just basically, a government said, "Oh, we like that asset, we'll have that off you." You know, just taking assets off private companies, most of them in Africa, to be honest. Number three, avoid companies that need cash if they're pre-revenue. You know, or even if they've got revenue but they're making loss. If they need cash, avoid it. Wait until they raise cash. Avoid companies that have high levels of debt. You don't have to get involved in companies like this. I mean, it's like yesterday, Indivia, you know, INDV, it took a massive fall because of a corruption case happening in America. People are jumping into it. They're like, why? Why not invest in a good company with good prospects rather than a bad company looking for a bounce, looking for a trade? If you're going to trade it, fine. But you can't, you know, you jump in and out. I'm not comfortable doing that. Why would I want to do that? And avoid companies where the share prices has spiked or risen quickly. And someone did say to me, well, that counts Bidstack out, because I put it on Twitter. I said, yeah, it does at the moment. I wouldn't jump into this price now, because it's quite hot in the RSI. I'm going to let it come back, because that way you can avoid that risk, you know? I'm not saying it won't go a lot higher. Of course I think it's going to go a lot higher. But at the moment, why would I invest now if I'm going to see my investment, that tranche of the investment, go down by like 5, 10, 15% for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks, remember, when it consolidates. Wait till it consolidates, go with the momentum. You know, let the momentum pick back up, then buy then, you know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm. So have you sort of got a target price when you're going to buy some more, or are you just going to watch it?
I'm going to watch. I narrowly missed, apart from that big dip on the financials, I narrowly missed before when it came down. It was really good. It went down to... I said tonight, I said, I'm going to buy everything below 10 pence. And at the time, it seemed like it would go down. And it went down to about 10.2, I think it went down to. You could buy it for about 10.3 or 10.4. I didn't buy then, and it went back up. It went almost shot all the way back up to 14 pence. Like, oh, wow. So that's the kind of thing you are. I think people are buying this in dips now, so dips are hard to buy. You know, you won't get a lot of dips, but you will come down again. Depends what comes out. But I'm going to hopefully come down, back down to, I think... Anyway, I think, you know, around about 12, 14 pence, hopefully. 15.90 now. Below 14, I'm hoping it'll dip to. But it's close to 16. But I just want to see it come back a bit, because at the moment, it's just gone crazy. And it needs to cool off, you know?
Yeah.
It really does.
yes.
Cool down, okay. Baby. I just want to mention, anything you want to mention, guys?
Stocks. Some of my stocks in my portfolio have generally recovered a bit this week, which has been nice to see.
It's April. See, April's good.
At the same time, others have plummeted. So, you know, it's not good.
Cora Gold's shot down today, isn't it?
I got out of that because I just thought they're longer, further off than I thought, and I just, you know, I took a loss on it. I do like the company, I like the guys there, I like the assets.
And in terms of board of directors, they've put a lot of skin in the game at quite a high price.
Exactly. And I like John Forster. I don't think he has much stock in the company, but I like John. He's a nice. He's a diligent. He's a geologist. You know. I like that. He's not a salesman. He's not a slimy selling CEO. He's a geologist by heart. He loves it.
I just think with those ones, I'm just going to tuck them away and hope things come.
I genuinely think it'll come good. But again, you know, you've got a lot of time there now because they're going to be proving up the resource. That's again with oil and gas. And people are going to hate me for saying this, but oil and gas and resource stocks, they take a long time. You know, it's like the drilling, it goes through certain studies. It's years before you even any sniff of money, any sniff of a revenue, you know. That's why I think it's years. Yes, you can earn good in the hype. At the moment, they're not playing well, resource stocks. I've said this so many times because we're in an area where global growth is slowing down. Those are the stocks to play when global growth is picking up. You know, you watch now. Given, I don't know when they're all worried about coming towards a slowdown, the yield curve. Will it be 2019, the end of this, or 2020 recession? We don't know. That's the worry. And that's why resource docs are really hard work at the moment. They're really hard work. And until we get out of this, and we have some good growth figures coming back out from China and the rest of the world, that's when they get back into resource docs. At the moment, I see them, you'll have rallies, of course you'll have rallies, but I just see them being very hard work, for months, months.
Tuple went on a little rise this week as well, didn't it?
Yes, it went on a little rise. They came out and they announced their figures, and they have burned quite a bit of cash.
They went for a little rise, and then they tumbled it back down a bit.
They had an update, and they burned some cash, and I got to say, I'm out for now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll bounce, but I mean, I think the revenue's going up, but their margins are small, but they're going to have to get a lot of revenue. They are getting lots of revenue, apparently. They're breaking records all the time, so I think it'll be fine as a business, and Andy said over and over again, that they won't need to go back to the market before they reach cash generation. So they're confident in that. So that's fine. But I just see it, again, it's taking a longer time. And at the moment,
Are you completely out then?
I'm sitting on a load of cash. I'm at the stage, apart from a couple of stocks, I'm quite
so
bearish.
So you didn't answer my question. So you have completely sold out?
Yeah, yes, I did. Yes, I'm out. When I say yes, I mean yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm out of the tube.
Are you completely out?
Yes, I'm out. Hands, feet, shoulders, knees, and toes, all out for now. I mean, I'll wait till the final.
What about tuple?
I'm all out. I'll wait for the final results, though. I'm going to wait for them and see what happens, see where they go, because I just think it's plenty of time. It's still a small cap company. But I had a nice run up, this week. And do you know what? I'm happy to pile into that dividend paying. It's underperformed. The UK dividend paying fund. This is the question, Steve. This is the question we should tackle, actually. In fact, let me mention two stocks we got on that fund and Steve's query about retirement. Because Steve is, he's 64 now.
He's reached that age.
He's looking to put some money away for next year.
Yeah.
He's left it a bit late, to be fair.
He's left it a bit late to start collecting work.
But I just want to mention a couple of companies. So I say, look at companies. I'm looking at companies in growth markets, and I also quite like just water, plastic, renewables, clean energy, because it's doing very well, and I think it will do well for the next 20, 30 years, to be honest. And so I like wind. I look at remote monitoring systems. Should be quite good. They've got a system there where they can monitor turbines, and they're going to have it in conversation with two big manufacturers, and it could be Siemens, GE, all the big manufacturers of wind turbines are massive companies, because you need a lot of capital to build those things. But what this company does is they do a monitoring for turbines, and apparently this is the most accurate in the world, they're claiming. And so it's Trevor Brown, he owns a lot of stock in the company. So if this comes off, if one of these deals comes off with these major wind turbine manufacturers, which is happening in June, I think it'll go very well indeed. And I didn't know about wind, did you? I didn't know that. Let me just scroll down here. The United Kingdom is one of the best locations for wind power in the world, and it's considered to be the best in Europe. Nearly 30% of the UK's electricity is planned to be generated by wind power by 2030 under a new deal by the government. So, can you see what I'm saying? Momentum's on that side of wind energy. So if you can get in that space, it's going to be good for a long time. Gaming's big. Growing markets, so water. That's why I looked at XSG. Did you see my recent video, Steve?
I watched it, yes.
And no, I haven't, no.
Thanks. I even sent you a link on the WhatsApp group.
Yes, come on,
did
Steve.
You? Okay. You send a lot of links, so.
Thanks for that. Xeros group, right? But Steve, when you're sitting there eating your boiling a bag sort of baguette, or you're boiling the bag sort of what you got
your microwave kebab,
you can spend sort of 10-15 minutes watching a video of mine, can't you? That's all.
Nope. Yeah, it's your head disturbs you sometimes, though.
It's like I'm in the room with you. Just big me, big head and shoulders of me.
I think it's bigger and it's brighter.
Yeah, it is bigger and brighter. It's bigger because you've got a 70-inch screen.
Yeah, exactly,
I'm not that big in real life. It's like, I'm not behind a window.
I certainly don't want to turn on the HDR feature.
HDR? Yeah. Xeros. I mentioned Xeros before, haven't I? Have I mentioned XSG before on the podcast?
about on podcast, but yes, I'm aware of them.
I did a video of them anyway, but they've been a perennial disappointer for a long time, but they've had big backers. If you look at their shareholder register, these aren't small guys. Jefferies is their broker. Now, Jefferies is a massive. They've got like 40 billion of assets, and they are an international, based in New York, international brokerage firm. They don't broker small cap companies. You know, they are only broker the big guys. They're massive. They are mentioned regularly on CNBC as giving out broker targets, and so they're highly, recommended. Neil Woodford, star fund manager, who's had a dreadful last five years, he's backed them from the top to a recent fundraise where he put in the majority of a £20 million fundraise at 10 pence. Now, they dipped down to 6 pence. I bought them just because I was looking at water and stuff. Because they have washing machines and plastic filters. And they're amazing. I mean, they save 80% less water. They're better on garments. They don't reduce the colour or the quality of garments as well. But it's just changing the industry's thought processes. Now, if you've got a big laundry or hotel and you've got all these things going and you've got a known supplier that you're quite comfortable with, then you're not going to change, are you? But what is going to make you change is regulation. And they're starting to do this now. In China, they put up the prices of water. In the Middle East, they also have, because, of course, water's scarce. And so, in China and Middle East, they've started got deals already with their Hydrofinity is their brand in the water space there. They've also got these filters that fit in any washing machine that take out plastic microfibers. They didn't realise 700,000 microfibers go into the wash every time you do a load, and they go into the ocean and stuff, into the food chain because it's in the bellies of fish and stuff like that. But here's the opportunity here on the 30th of April. Don't get into then. I'm in already, but don't get into then, right? Because it may dip, because they are publishing their financial results for the year of 2018. Now, they've been a heavy cash burn. The last 6 months, they burned like £12 million. I mean, that was the first 6 months, of 2018. They burned £12 million quid, right?
Not very environmentally friendly, burning money.
I know, that was on a turnover of £2 million, right?
Right. Wow.
But they've got...
What are they doing with that money?
No, because it's all about R&D. This cutting-edge tech. They've got very cutting-edge tech. I mean, these orbs that they don't need to use water. You use the orbs in the machines. So it's been a lot of R&D, a lot of stuff in the laboratories, a lot of that stuff. That's what it's been for years in 2015. They were up to £3 a share. They're now down to 6 pence recently. But Woodford's backed them all the way. But they've done deals, right? So they've gone from now really high, capital-intensive research, building these machines, installing them at different places around the world, testing them and all this stuff. And now they're just going to commercialization. So now they're starting to get contracts and revenue. And they've got about 3 coming off in the first half of this year. And I'm talking about big contracts. They've already got things going on already, but they have contracts with China's, listen this, they've got contracts with China's biggest industrial washing machine manufacturer. Now, considering China has the most people in the world, that's quite big. They've got 1.5 billion people there. They've also got a contract with China's biggest domestic washing machine manufacturer. It's about 13 million washing machines a year. They've got a contract with the world's biggest tanners. So these people supply Timberland and Wolverine. So leather production and cotton and oil fabric can take a lot of water. And on that video of water I did, I showed how many gallons of water for a small bit of cotton is needed. It's phenomenal. And so they don't need that. They cut that down by like 60-80%. So they've done deals with it. And these are all coming to revenue in this half the year. So you're going to get the results...
Looking at their chart, this time last year they were £1.50. They're now basically 10p.
Yeah.
Wow! Imagine if you were in this time last year. And
exactly.
Of grind out, which by the sounds of Woodford has.
So, yeah, but people said to me, "Well, if Woodford's in it, I'm avoiding it." I said, "No, listen, you understand, Woodford. Woodford's very good at looking at tech and the ideas and future, future concepts." But he's been awful on just picking the price. He's got into it and the price has gone. And, it's almost like, do you understand how much money's going to be pumped into this company? But because of him, though, these companies wouldn't exist. So he pumps the money in, and they use it to invest so in their tech. So now it's starting to pay off. And he wants to get his money back. So it's going to have to go some way. But so the world's biggest tanners, they're filtered that cuts out, like I said, plastic pollution. They have the only washing machine in the world with our environmentally preferable product certification from the global body, SES certified. And so, listen, they've got the tech. And also, it lends itself to everything, pretty much all the pressure surrounding plastic and water. You know, I think this only regulation will only get stricter and more stringent in these areas, and it'll play into Xerox's thing. But what will happen is the share price should take a massive slump on these results, I think. I don't know if it is. If their outlook is very good, maybe it won't.
I was going to say, you're basing that because of, like, obviously the results aren't for the past 12 months aren't great, but these deals that you're talking about now sound quite positive.
Yeah, if but the trouble is, when you put the highlights, then you have to put the highlights, normally in the highlights, they'll have revenue, loss, and that will be up there first. People read that, sales! And then they'll not read the outlook below and saying, you know, we've now taken on board all these, we're starting to generate revenue. So I think there's an opportunity here, guys, okay?
Yeah.
Excellent tech. Stock, you know, very well held. In fact, the CEO and the CFO bought 75 grand for the stock a couple of months back. So they're in, not massively in, like, to James from Bidstack. I always like to bring Bidstack up. But, I just think it's an excellent place to be, all right? And I'm going to do a video this weekend as well on NFX. New Formix. You both held this. Do you remember I was in Mexico last year and I jumped in? So get in, boys. I bought it. We all jumped in and I realised the market cap being displayed was wrong on all sites. Yeah. And I said,
I thought Pete was still in that.
Yeah.
No, because it had a rise. It had a little rise on some results about 6 months ago. And I think I got out pretty much what I paid for it or something. I don't think I lost on it.
Well, it may cool off a little bit, but they're still below IPOs. So they're cheaper now than when you bought. There's a lot more. So they got essentially three drugs. Well, they did two drugs. They got NXP, it's one for cancer, one for fibrosis, big markets. The lead drug, literally, they're going to come out with trial results now this month. Right? And if they do that, they get paid, if it passes, they get paid 2 million quid in cash. They've already had $500,000 for a Chinese company, which they're in talks with, and but not only that, once, and listen, it's called CoCrystal, it's very clever. So what they do is take a known compound, a drug that's already passed, it's safe, efficacious, right? But in some way they adjust it, because sometimes these drugs are not well sort of absorbed by the body, so they can change it in some way but not change the actual drug, the way it works. So it's very safe. So the trials they go through, all they have to prove is bioequivalence. That means it's not a rigorous test. So that means they have to act, they always have to sort of compare it to the leading drug on the market. So as long as they can prove bioequivalence, that means similarity to the leading drug, it's done deal. They'll get £2 million in a payment. They'll also get 10% royalty in China. Then they can go to the rest of the world and market it to the rest of the world. So they've got that. They've got NXP 2 as well, which is another drug coming up, which has also passed good tests. But they're just on a deal just now worth up to £51 million in royalties. No, up in milestone payments. And there's royalties on top of that, 20% royalties can be on top of that as well, for cannabis, with a company in Canada who are linked in the finance and back. So I quite like this. I think it's under the radar. Dan Gooding has 9% of the company. The chairman has 9% of the company. Yeah. And low cost for what they're doing. But it's one of the safest ways of doing biotech, because it's co-crystal. Like I said, they're using drugs already that have passed rigorous, clinical trials anyway. And they've just adjusted it to make it more suitable to be taken in certain ways. But they just adjust the crystals in some way. And then they can patent that themselves. So that's theirs or a drug. So it's very clever. I like that a lot. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. I was just looking. I bought and sold around 3.8p. So yeah, I didn't win, didn't lose. But that's below where it's got to now, even after this rise. So,
So I just think there's a big milestone coming up. The results of the lead drug, and in the background you've got the cannabinoid thing, and you've got the second drug as well. And yet the 50 million market cap, and they spend very little, skin in the game. Very clever, safe, way of getting drugs to market quickly, I think.
You've bought into them?
I bought a little bit of them, yeah. I'm going to buy more on dips, but also I'm going to buy more. It's going to go bananas, I think. If the results are good this month, they prove bioequivalence, they'll get a 2 million quid payment from China. But it's also, if you read the RS, they say if the results are very, very good, there's other opportunities with this drug. I don't know what that means, really. I'll have to ask Dan about that. But he said there's other opportunities there as well. So, yeah, I think it could be very good.
Has he been on the podcast recently?
Yeah, he was on yesterday.
Oh, right.
Wednesday. So check it out. Yeah, nice guy.
Did you say that? I wasn't listening.
No, I didn't say that. But Dr. Dan Gooding of New Formix NFX, check it out. I don't know if you've got time. Steve's probably starving. But one thing, we mentioned about, like I said, I'm buying this fund. I've got spare cash. I've got spare cash from my account, 57% cash. I've whacked a big chunk into the dividend paying fund, which is IUKD, pay 6.7% at the moment. It's a FTSE 350 companies that pay the biggest dividends. They're screened for regular payment. God, that oven's getting really impatient now, Steve. It's a, I'm ready! Put your stuff in me! Put the bun in the oven, yeah? Put in the sweet potato. Steve said, I don't understand investing in this. What's the advantage between doing this or... I don't know much about pension, Steve. I don't really do it, but I know you get tax relief, don't you, on what you put in. Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, so you get... you get tax relief, obviously, from... Yeah, what you put in off your salary, and then you also... The government puts another 20% in on top, so it sounds... It's a good deal, isn't it?
Yeah, but again... right. Do you know what? The book I'm reading at the moment... The reason why Jack Bogle set up... ETFs or funds or, you know, passive funds or low-cost funds, it's because fund managers are rip-off artists. Now, first and foremost, you've got to find out who is managing your pension fund, what the performance is. So it doesn't matter how much you put in. If they can't perform or underperform, you're not going to win money, are you? So it matters how much relief they give you. So I know full well this ETF, you can get your money out when you want. So essentially... I'll give you a simplified example of four. So let's say you've got 100 grand in this ETF right now. You'll be getting £6,700 a year, in dividends. You know, you can reinvest that, and then you'll end up getting more next year because you have compound interest, and you can take that out when you want. And I'm just thinking, can you outperform? And they showed that the hedge fund managers never outperform the passive index funds. Over time, the passive index funds always outperform the hedge fund managers because not only they underperform the market, but they charge you to underperform the market. So it depends how good that fund is, you know?
It does, but you're almost 40% ahead, aren't you, by putting it into a pension? That's the... I know you get taxed after 25% when you retire, so okay, there's a 20% tax on that, but... It's a hard sum to do and work out, really. But yeah, I am going to find out what.
Say they lose you money over 20 years.
Say again?
So they lose you money over 20 years.
Well, yeah, they could do, yeah.
But is that, find out how much they charge, how much, what the performance. I just think also the flexibility of an ETF.
I'm not going to do it myself. I'd get a financial advisor who would obviously.
Steve, what are you saying when you're 40%? That's your 20% tax relief and.
20% that the government put in.
In what? In a workplace? No, it's not.
But you get taxed though when you bring it out.
So if I put £800 in a month, yes, the government would top it up by 200, so it'd be 1,000.
But that's the tax relief.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
Oh no, yeah. I think they do that as well. But Steve, you get
taxed. Have you got some special pension arrangement with the government?
that's standard.
But listen, I've seen the adverts where there's a little mini you working for that girl in cooking. She's cooking, and she says, when you pay into a pension fund, it's like a little you working for you because the government paying too. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, that is taxable when you take it out, though, isn't it? To tax on that when you take it out.
Well, you get the first 25% is tax free, and then so the other 75% you've got to pay tax on. So,
ISAs are tax free, though. So you can put and also they're flexible. So you know, what I'm saying is, the dividends the you get paid, you can do anything with them. What?
Yeah, and all the gain is tax free.
Yeah, but yeah. I know. Clearly, your side is on putting into an ISA, but you can see my side. It's not a clear winner, is it?
You can do both, though, couldn't you?
That was probably my second plan, really.
Is there a way of, let's say you had 100 grand under your mattress, like you said, on WhatsApp, and you put it in, and you could take 6 grand in cash each year and put that in your pension?
Yeah, well, I don't have 100 grand, so...
But you know what I'm saying, though? What I'm saying is, that dividend...
500 grand.
That dividend ETF is an income payer. It's an income payer. It pays you income, you know, on a regular basis. They pay quarterly, actually, so it's 6.6% quartered. Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's just, rather than have my cash just sitting there at the moment, because I'm a bit bearish on certain stocks and certain sectors, rather than have cash sitting there, I'll just put it in this, you know, ETF, and like it's an exchange traded fund. You can see it's on a chart. It's like a share. You can buy and sell like a share. You can see it on the chart. It's at a low at the moment. It's a nice support level. That's why the dividend is so chunky. So if the share price rises, you get capital gain. You know, if the share price goes down, you get a bit more yield. So it's fine. So that's what I quite like about it. So I think at the moment, where can you get 6.7% on
I dipped my thingy jig in there.
Whoa, Steve, keep it clean, yeah.
But you know, I've put a bit of money into it. So, but yeah, it's just deciding what to do more in the long term, really.
Okay, all right. Steve, have you dipped your face in it? Pete? Have you dipped any part of your body in it at all?
Into your UK ID fund? No.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I probably will.
Yeah. Well, listen now. The next
or something similar. I do actually want to look. I used to have a passive tracker, and it did perform quite well. And so I have been thinking about getting back into something like that.
I think it's in one buy you can diversify your portfolio. It's only to look at if I said Steve needs to put like 80% of his portfolio into one of those, yeah. Or two funds maybe. One's more capital gain. One's more income. So this is income. One's like the NASDAQ, 100, which is one of the best performing ones. One's an income payer, and then 20% of his stocks. He can mess around looking for the next bid stack, And I'll only recommend stocks to you, Steve, that I think is going to be a winner, and I'm almost 70 to 80% sure they're going to be a winner. There'll be no punts.
Recommend the Pete and Paddy here.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I'll say this is a Pete and Paddy stock. This is a Steve stock. Yeah. That's what I'll do it. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
For Paddy, it'll be really high risk because since Paddy's got in the market, he's put the mockers on it, to be honest, hasn't he?
Yeah. So
I'll say this is a Paddy stock, a bit more quality than Pete stock. He'll have a dabble of that, and I'll say this is a Steve stock, which is it's a safe stock. Yeah. That's the way I'll do it. We'll have a chart, I think, on the blog, a Paddy, a Pete, and a Steve. This is a bit of a Paddy. Now, be careful on this. Don't go into it. And I'll say this is a Steve stock. I say bids is a Steve stock.
A Paddy punt.
Mm. Now, Zeros at the moment is probably a Pete put stock. It's in the middle.
Yeah.
Because until you get the final results out, but it may move over into a Steve stock as soon as the results are out. And if we can see.
That's a Steve stock.
That's a Steve stock straight away.
I like this profit-like system we've created there.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I better let you go, Steve, because I know Steve. Did you notice halfway through his last sentence, he almost broke down because his belly was almost like thinking his mind and he couldn't get past his. I'm hungry!
Yep. We've got 4 more minutes on the microwave, don't worry.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to fill time for 4 minutes while we wait for the bing, are we? So it's like a big extra long countdown. Did it, doo! Okay. Marvellous, guys. Have a nice weekend. Yes. And we'll speak you next week. Yeah.
Cheers, bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.